Welcome to Riches in Christ Radio Ministry with Diane Kennedy. Please stay tuned at the end of today's lesson. We'll give you information on how you can acquire this week's tape, along with information about our weekly meetings and website. Now, here's Diane Kennedy.
This week, we're continuing our discussion of the importance of knowing the hope to which you have been called. In eternity past, God, motivated by love, devised a plan to have a family of sons and daughters, and he made earth to be home for his family. Sin took that plan off track. The first man, Adam, disobeyed God and took the race resident in him into the pig pen of sin, corruption, and death. His actions affected the race resident in him and affected the earth itself, the home God made for his family. God lost his family to sin, corruption, and death, but he had a plan in mind to deal with what happened and regain his family and the home he made for his family and carry out his original purpose. That plan is redemption and salvation. To redeem means to deliver from bondage to sin, corruption, and death. And then through salvation, transform men from sinners into holy, righteous sons and daughters. And then at his second coming, transform this earth and make it new by setting it free from the curse of corruption and death that entered in when Adam sinned. God chose you before he formed the earth for this plan. Although you and I are born into a fallen race with sin natures, which we employ when we reach the age where we know right from wrong, we too choose independence from God through sin and become guilty of sin before God in our own right. But God issues a call to us or an invitation to us through the gospel, through the good news that Jesus died for our sins according to the scriptures, was buried and rose again on the third day. Through the gospel, he calls us to bow our knee to the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior and as our Lord. And when that happens, we're born again. We're born of God. We become sons of God through new birth. And a process of transformation begins that will ultimately make us like Jesus in character and power. But through the new birth, we're qualified for God's eternal home, first in the invisible heaven, and then when heaven comes to earth, on the new earth. That's the plan. That's your purpose. And knowledge of that can help you deal with the hardships of this life. And what we're focusing on this week, we're looking at the Apostle Paul, who had a tremendously difficult life once he became a Christian because he was attacked from all angles and faced all kinds of challenges. But he was able to declare that I'm more than a conqueror in all these things, because nothing can separate me from God's love, which motivated him to send his son to die for me so my sin could be removed and this process of redemption and transformation could take place. Paul understood that if God, motivated by love, went to these lengths to take on flesh and be born into this world, humble himself and be born into this world and go to the cross and suffer like no human has ever suffered. If he did that for me in love, what would he do now? Paul realized that if God, motivated by love, went to these lengths to help him when he was a rebel against God, there's nothing he wouldn't do for him now. And Paul's own testimony in Romans chapter 8, verse 31, was, if God be for me, who or what can be against me? And see, Paul knew God was for him. He didn't know it by looking at his circumstances. He didn't know it based on how he felt on any given day. He knew it because of the cross. The cross is God's demonstration of his love for you and me. If he helped me on my worst day, which was any day before I was saved, with my greatest need, which is salvation from my sin, why would he not help me now? See, that's why in the context of life's trials and tribulations, Paul referenced God's love three times. God's love made him a conqueror through Christ. Paul knew and believed that nothing could separate him from God, who in love devised this plan to have him as a son, a holy, righteous son, and live with him forever, first in heaven and then on this earth made new. He knew and believed that nothing could separate him from God and this plan. Therefore, Paul's confidence was based not on feelings or sight, but on fact. Romans 8:32 says, "He did not spare his own son, but surrendered him for us all. And with this gift, how can he fail to lavish upon us all that he has to give?" In other words, that's Paul's statement of, if God helped me on my worst day, any day before I was saved, with my greatest need, namely salvation from my sin, why would he not help me now? Paul also understood that God's plan and purpose is not a promise to stop all trouble right now. Paul recognized the parameters of life in a sin-cursed earth. He's the one who penned many of the verses we've used about the curse of corruption and death in this world, presently. And he understood those parameters. See, what do I mean by that? If you lived in Siberia and decided you were going to raise palm trees in Siberia, you'd probably be a very frustrated person because you don't understand the parameters of life in Siberia. It gets very cold and stays cold for the bulk of the year, and palm trees won't grow in that kind of a climate. If you don't understand the parameters of the place in which you live, you're going to be trying to do things that aren't going to work in the place in which you live. Paul understood that life in a sin-cursed earth is hard, and God's number one goal right now is not to stop all trouble. His goal is to call people to join his family through faith in Christ, and he uses the challenges of life in a sin-cursed earth and causes him to serve his purpose. See, Paul had the right perspective. He knew that in comparison to eternity, the hardships of life are nothing. He knew that what's ahead far outweighs life's challenges. Paul wrote in Romans 8:18, the sufferings of this life don't begin to compare with the glory that awaits us. He knew that the sufferings of this life are minuscule in comparison to what's ahead. In 2 Corinthians 4:17, he wrote, he called his own troubles momentary and light in comparison to eternity, while he looked not at what he could see, but what he couldn't see. He knew that God is able to bring genuine good out of genuine bad and cause trouble in this world to serve his eternal purpose. And that made him confident and fearless in the face of life's troubles. He's the one who wrote Romans 8:28. We know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. What's God's purpose? To have holy, righteous sons and daughters in a perfect world. He called us for that purpose. Paul said, that love that motivated him to call me and make a way for me to be transformed from sinner into son will keep me through whatever I go through, and God will work whatever I go through for good and cause it to serve eternal purposes. Paul recognized that because God is for me, nothing can come against me, because everything in this life is temporary and subject to change by his power, either in this life or the life to come. Now, Paul also understood his inheritance as a son of God. When we began this series, we said that this prayer, where Paul prayed they would know the hope of his calling, the very next thing Paul prayed was that they would know the riches of the glory of God's inheritance in the saints. Paul understood not only the hope to which he's called, but his inheritance as a son of God. Sons have purpose, place, provision, power, and authority. Sons have purpose, place, provision, power, and authority. Now, we'll deal with all that in upcoming lessons, but the point for right now is that because Paul had revelation concerning his inheritance, his purpose, his place, his provision, his power, and his authority, he knew he was authorized to utilize the power of God and change certain circumstances that came up in his life. He also knew some circumstances could be avoided by the wisdom of God. But he further knew that some of them he had to go through by the grace of God. And knowledge of his inheritance, which is a lesson for another day, helped him know what he could change, what he could avoid, and what he had to go through by the grace of God. Paul faced challenges, troubles, and trials throughout most of his life as a Christian until he was finally executed for his faith. But when you read his story in the book of Acts from chapter 9 on, and you read the many epistles that he wrote in the New Testament, there's no hint of him wrestling with, why did this happen? Is God upset with me about something? He must not love me anymore, otherwise he'd have never let this happen. What's he trying to say to me or teach me? Did I leave a door open to Satan? Maybe I have a generational curse. Now, I'm not making fun of any of this stuff, but I see genuine Christians who love the Lord in anguish over this kind of stuff, because everybody has troubles, and we all want to know why. I've written a book, Why Did This Happen? What Is God Doing? You need to know how to answer the why and the what questions. I'll be glad to send you a copy if you contact us. Why did this happen? Because that's life in a sin-cursed earth. Paul knew that. He wrote many of the verses, and probably 90% of the verses we've referenced in these past 2 weeks. He knew that's life in a sin-cursed earth, but he also knew that God would get him through until he got him out. He also knew that anything he lost in this life was a temporary loss, and he'd get it back in the life to come. He also knew that God was able to take the circumstances of life and cause them to serve his eternal purposes as he gathers his family. He knew that God can bring genuine good out of genuine bad and cause it all to serve his purposes of maximum glory to himself and maximum glory to himself and maximum good to as many people as possible. Are you getting some of the point that I'm trying to make? Paul understood that his past with God began when God chose him to become his son in eternity past. And he understood that his future included more than this life, and the promise of his past would be fulfilled in his future, and it gave him hope now. More tomorrow.
You have been listening to Diane Kennedy of Riches in Christ. To order this week's teaching on CD, be ready for our number coming up soon. Diane teaches locally every Friday night at 7:30 p.m. near Highway 44 in Jamison at 4720 Jamison. Praise and worship is provided by Mercy's Child before each lesson. Riches in Christ provides a website at www.richesinchrist.com where you can listen to this week's radio lesson, download years of teachings and outlines, sign up for free weekly outlines, and order Diane's book, God is Good and Good Means Good. Friends, knowing that God is good is the single most important thing to stand on when trouble hits. If you think the trouble comes from or is allowed by God, then you need this book. For information or to order this week's lesson on CD, call us at 1-888-739-6619. Please mention today's date. Our number again is 1-888-739-6619. 19.